This is a tape for Mrs. Anna Love, Kispiox Valley. Well, Gamma, we had a little fun. Some of the first things that maybe you'd like to tell again is about Sweden and things when you were little. Like, for instance, like the story you told about the flax and the linen. Tell what you can remember about it.
So, no, we just seed it and when it grew up and it was ready to pick, we picked it by hand.
And then you said that you have to pull it.
Yeah, we pulled it out of the ground and we laid one bundle that way and the next one we filled across and then we tied it and we had enough for one bundle. Then took it and put it down in the lake and sank it. We put some logs or something over to hold it down in the water. We left it there for about two or three weeks. And then we brought it up and put it in the house where they used to dry the grain
like a shed.
They used to dry the grain for grinding up grain for flour. They used to dry it in that house, like, and had a tree to hide there for a long time. And then when they were really just stiff as it could be, they had some old fashioned twigs that they broke it up with. They kind of lift the handle and there was a kind of iron underneath the handle that they pressed down on. And then they had another rig while they made where they pulled all that rough stuff out. And of course, when they were through with it, that way they brushed it. They had to brush and brushed it and they just shone like silver holes. And then they, to get it ready for spinning, they used to,
spindle.
They used to roll it for, kind of curl it up a bit, like so they would roll under it. Head where we use the spin it from. So.
And then it's really very interesting because the soaking, the.
Jack's continue.
The soaking, when they soak it in the lake, that makes them all separate, you see.
Oh, yes.
And then that hard stuff, because we were reading about this after.
Oh, yeah.
And when it gets real hard, it's that kind of a pulp that they want to get rid of.
Yeah.
And so they break it all up and shake it off.
And then kind of draw it like that through it, like.
And then this combing, that's, I guess it's the number of times it's combed that they want to, depends how coarse or how fine you want it.
They always know it's the linen, what they call real linen, they have to be so fine that they always chop. And then they have to kind of, you know, when they had this, you know, they used to have not that thick, like, and when they brushed it, you know, at the time, like, but they put on the head of the spinning wheel, like, and then they had that all, when they pressed it inside, you know, rolled it back and forward like that, you know, like they used to do with paper for shells or something, and then hold it, and then let it out, and it was all wavy, like, and then take that where we rolled it, and just spread it out like that and rolled it on the stick. You can really spin it from there.
Isn't that interesting? Did you ever spin yourself? Did you spin?
Oh, I love spinning linen. Oh, I love spinning. But I never liked spinning wool.
But the linen must have been something.
Well, you could have it just as fine as you please, and they never broke. You could just tramp on it.
Well, how did they must have tied they would tie the string eventually, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have to tie one to another as it...
To make a long thread?
No.
or they just sort of...
No, you see the spinning wheel, the wheel, they go on and we take that from there and put it into the, when they come on the spool, and we have a spool there that the thread run on into.
So it just joins by itself?
Yes, sure, there never no end to it, so long as it was ever left on the head, that was all one thread.
Well, that, it must be joined like this sort of ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sure, then when you get, you see, you take that,
That's okay.
But anyhow, you hold it that way and this, and roll it down this way, like the cross way, like, not the long ways. That's how you get it, so you, on the head, that you can just keep on spinning that and...
That is as long as you want to keep working it, eh?
So long as you have anything left on the head of the...
Oh, yeah.
And then when you want another one, you take another one. And then you use yarn that you don't, there's no knots or anything.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh, what kind of things did you make from linen?
Well, I didn't weave too many fancy things, but...
You like blankets and covering
and different things, you know, like towels and so on, kind of.
I have to bring a piece from Carol's. She has the one that my dad had.
Oh.
Brought from the old country.
Oh, yeah.
It was all in stripes, different colors. And it's kind of shattered a bit, but it's really very precious, you know. I have to really get a piece of that to bring. So then, anyway, then you went on to mention about the dairy products. You know, you mentioned about how they made the cheese and, you know, about the, how they prepared the milk and how, you know.
Yes, understood.
Did you make cheese in Sweden?
Oh, yes. I made some. I went to dairy school there for a little while, and we milked cows, and we had Honoris to look after.
You learned how to do it.
Yeah, we made cheese and butter.
You mentioned that we used to make cheese from whey.
Yeah, brown, what we call brown cheese, whey cheese, like.
And how did you make that?
Well, you just keep on, you know, after you cut the cheese out of there, the white cheese, like, just keep on boiling the whey till that just, you know, you might have a big bucket, a couple of buckets maybe, and just, you remember.
And you just get just a pound out of it maybe, or maybe not even that, just a little bit from 2 pails.
Yeah, but it was good though.
Would it be those little tiny little bits that are left, of cheese that are left? Or is it really right out of the whey itself?
It's right out of the whey.
Whey itself. Yeah.
And it boils down, and as it's boiling down, it gets browner and browner and browner until it's a dark brown. And then it gets like a...
Not that a dark, it's not supposed to be too dark. But
then you used to put it in kind of bricks, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then when you were ready to use it, you scraped it off.
Well,
like this.
You see, you could keep it as long as you like, so long as you let it dry, and then just work it up and give it a little bit of cream or something and put it on the bridge.
Just look like peanut butter.
Yeah, it looked like peanut butter.
About that?
Yeah,
just look like peanut butter.
And you made it in this country too?
Oh yes.
Oh.
I made lots of them.
We'll have to make some.
It would be fun.
Wouldn't it? And then you mentioned about the schooling. I'd like you to mention, to tell again about... about the schooling. Well, especially that you already knew, all the children you say that you went to school with already knew how to read and write when they went to school.
Oh yes. Yeah.
So you were taught to read and write at home.
Yes.
Would that be your parents or
they had older
brothers or sisters?
Used to help.
So in other words, you had to know how to read and write before you went to school.
Yes, I know everybody around where I come from those days could read and write. I mean.
So then when you went to school, that's where you learned other things.
Yes.
You know, in other words, your further education, you learned, I suppose, handwork, and then, of course, I suppose you learned about history and stuff
history,
like that.
Oh, history, geography, and
science,
and
whatever. And you mentioned that your brother John, he learned
Shorthand.
Shorthand.
In school, in public school, that was just public school.
And that he used it.
Yes, he knew, still knew how to do, how to write and that time when he was here.
And he did it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, if you hear the song or anything you like, you just talk with it down in shorthand and then you do all the words of it.
That's very wonderful. And you mentioned that you learn how to knit differently. You know, you mentioned that, you know, you knit differently at home, but you learned, you were taught.
Yes, because we all learned from home, like my mother and every grandmother and everybody else used to knit. But then it was new, something new that came out, you know, that we had to, we didn't really like that at all. Because, and we had to, you, even to cast on the stitches, we had to cast on different too. That wasn't said about the way we did it, we learned from home.
So then it was, but it was wonderful to learn, just the same, I guess. And that's where you learned to crochet too?
We weren't allowed. We could do everything else, but not crochet. We didn't allow ourselves.
I wonder why.
The inspector came one time and some of the girls was crocheting and they didn't like it at all.
Is it because they wanted them to do linen, maybe?
No, I don't know what it was, but really what it was, but we could do embroidery work and we could do everything else but crocheting.
Did they think it was hard in your eyes or something?
I don't know what it was, but it didn't bother me.
Because the thread would be the same as you used
Yeah,
thread.
You would think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they must have had a reason, mm-hmm. I suppose. And did you do such things as painting? You did art and drawing, I suppose.
That, I didn't do very much of it. That was awful for it. Yeah.
So what did you like best, really, as you remember?
I really liked geography and history, but because I know when I come to this country first, it wasn't the time in the world, I don't think that I didn't remember. They always come to ask.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is on the tape now. You haven't got the tape?
No, that's okay, it's okay, it's all right, it's all right.
No, well, I don't want to say that.
No, that's okay. Well, that's pretty nice that people came to ask you where to go.
That you knew every town, that's pretty...
That's pretty good, eh?
Yeah, I'll say.
We started down there so early in school, we sure could
learn them.
All the different countries, the main the towns of all, the any towns of any mountain, it don't matter where they were, we had to know how, what the name was, and the same thing with the big rivers, where they started out from and where they ended from, so
that's wonderful. But then, of course, you were really good at it too, I guess, you know,
we
enjoyed it.
And you liked it, I guess.
Yes, you learned it and you really liked it. Oh, that's very nice. And then, so then when you finished school, like, that was it, you went back.
Of course, we didn't, I never went to high school all day. I guess, I don't know what that grade was, I guess. But I went to another school, I guess, maybe compare with 8, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the farthest one.
I suppose when you heard about, tell us how you felt about hearing about Canada and how you managed to come here.
We used to see some advertising about that, you know, even how they grew strawberries up at first, Fort Cabin.
In Sweden?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I can imagine. Agents in every country were never allowed to say anything bad. It was always put on, you know. Oh, that it was
so kitschous of the strawberries that grew at Fort Cabin
in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really were. They were really trying to bring immigrants, poor old immigrants, you know. That. So, but anyway, you mentioned that you came with another friend.
Yes, and of course my brothers was here too. They had. She came and got married to a really cousin of mine that she married and he came to Free Super to meet us.
But your brothers, where they came here like for the mining that interested them, or how did they manage to come?
Well, they were in Texas first. They went to Texas first, and I don't think they liked the jungle there, but one a year, I think, they didn't like the jungle. So they came up to Canada. They were worked in mines in northern Burke, and then they worked their way up there and took a piece of land.
That's interesting. It's interesting what makes people come to certain places, you know. Yeah. Of all the places they have to pick, you know, and this is where they live.
So I thought it was so cute. Mom said about when she got the train in South Carolina, looked down the face and
it really was interesting.
It was really lonely too for a girl to come up. Oh, yes. There wasn't a girl. Of course, I had Miss Haglund that came up.
And I guess, did the brothers encourage you to come?
Well, they asked me to come and keep house for
them. Oh, yes, yes.
So the other one could come up, and she didn't want to come by herself, so they had to see the chat.
So that was a real, what you call,
manipulation.
Manipulation, yeah. That's not the word I'm thinking of. I can't think of it. So that was in 1914 that you said you came.
Yeah. And
you mentioned that the ship ride wasn't very good. On the ship.
Oh, yes. That's right, too. I was sick, of course. But the boat came over and sank, and it went back.
Isn't that something? Do you remember how many people there would have been on that ship?
I don't remember, and I don't even remember the name of the boat. I can't. Mm-hmm.
She knew it around 300.
And so then you came to Montreal. By ship to Montreal.
Yes, and then by train.
By train to Vancouver.
Vancouver, and then by boat from Vancouver to Prince Rupert. And then I think they just had their railway finished.
To Hazleton.
Yes.
So then, what year did they finish? Because they were building the railroad then.
Yes.
To join.
Well.
So that was about what? 19. You don't remember. Don't matter. Year time.
It was completed, the rail to Hazleton, in 1914.
So just when you came?
Just before you came.
Just for grandma.
Well, I don't know whether it was 1913 or 14, but I mean...
It wasn't long.
But it was true, and I...
Mm-hmm. Especially for grandma. Especially. And you mentioned you were very disappointed when you came to Hazleton. Tell us about that.
No. Well, I used to, when I got out of the train and sat and I looked down on the hill, I thought it looked like, I don't know, what Nigninet in Jerusalem looked like.
it's just her knowledge of geography. This is really something. And then you mentioned that somebody was coming up to get you by...
Yes, he went over the bank with a horse and...
And buggy.
Buggy.
Who was that?
It was John Haglund. They had talked over before they left. My brothers asked each other which one wanted to go down to get us or stay home and cook supper. And he said he wanted to come down and get us. So he stood way down below the bank, just wiping the sweat on the And so we came up the Taylor.
And then you said you saw him, that's when you saw him in the ditch?
Yes, then still over the bank there. I thought it was a long, long way
up the valley, especially into the bush and everything.
And Pete Hagen said, oh, we'll be there now in about 5 minutes and we're still woods and brush. Couldn't make that out when we were living on a farm.
And I guess you were, I guess it's not different. I guess, so that's when you started keeping house for your brothers.
Yes. Yeah, they had the camp together before at Haglund's.
Whereabouts was that now? Which
place? Well, that house that...
Where you live.
That's where? The house that Charles...
Oh, yes, that's what I mean. Uh-huh.
And because Hagen's house was just the house that on this side of it that burned down.
Oh, that's where Cottrell's.
Yeah.
Cottrell's there. Yes. So whose was that, where Cottrell's was?
Hagen's. Oh, yes. Yes, that was the lady went with that girl that came
oh,
up
that
with
got
me.
Married. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we moved over that evening and over home. Well, just moved over. They had, of course, everything was all set up. They had bought new curtains and hung them up. And I thought that the next day I wanted to wash them. I said, I think I take the curtain down and wash them. They had I don't know what you call that kind of a color, but they looked just a little. They were new. I don't think my brother appreciated that very much.
And you mentioned that your girlfriend, she was married in Prince Rupert.
Yes.
So they her boyfriend met her.
Yes. Of course, she stayed at Hagman's, you know, at the house where we just went.
What is your maiden name? Hagman's or your cousin?
Yes.
Oh, it's your cousins that you were. No, no. And what are your brother's names?
Hed and Vlad.
Oh, I see. It's a similar name.
Yeah.
That's how I got mixed up all the time. I see. So then, I guess you mentioned that you had no trouble in reading and writing English, but you had a lot of trouble learning how to speak or something.
No, I learned to talk, you know, talk enough to go along anyhow, quite fast. But what I had trouble with when I, of course, it was years before I tried to write because I had nobody to write to.
I guess not.
Because when I wrote, it was Swedish, you see. Sweden.
Oh, I see. So it was the writing that took you a long time.
Because
there was something.
Because I didn't know anybody around here to write to, or around that knew English anyhow. So I never got to learn how to write. Writing, the spell rather.
I see. And then.
I still have trouble with it.
So then it was then that. About 2 years later, you said that you married.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jack Love.
Yes.
Jack. It was Jack Love.
Yes.
And then you set up farming. You mentioned that nice story about the dairy, that you went up to look after the dairy. It was like for your, was it for your brother or for your cousin?
No, that was after we were married. We went up to Hebner's to John Hebner. He was in the war. He just came back.
Oh, Johnny Hebner.
Jim Hebner.
Oh, I see.
And we went to Rupert and got some dairy, milk cows, and
this is after the war?
Yes, well.
Yeah.
Yes, that was just it. Just
so then you looked after the dairy farm. You ran it for him.
Yes.
You mentioned he had a bad hand or something. He couldn't.
No, he his arm was shut off.
Oh, I see.
He just had one arm. And of course, my husband used to do the fixing, you know, looking at feeding, and most of that looked after the calves.
Mm-hmm.
He was an Indian policeman, wasn't he?
Yes.
Jimmy Hebner.
Jimmy Hebner was
an
Indian policeman.
Oh, I mean, where? Here?
In his, yes.
He had a special policeman for
the natives, yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake. So that's what he was doing?
Yeah. And we were milking cows and then making butter.
Yes, he said, you mentioned something about 15 cows.
The natives, I mean, the highest. 90 pounds in a week.
Of butter?
Yeah.
Oh.
It supplied the Hazelton Hospital and the family science store. And
did you sell milk too? Or just
no,
just,
we did sell milk.
It's just butter and, I suppose, oh, that'd be just butter then.
Yes.
Oh, that's really something. And then you mentioned that they were Holsteins and Guernsey.
Yes.
Cows.
They had the little milk cows built over a creek there with the bush around it, so it kept everything so cool and nice. Mm.
So then, I guess it got too much for everybody, or I guess it just didn't work out, or so in the end, I guess he sold the cows, he got it.
Yes, after you left.
Yes, after we left, he didn't stay any longer than just a little over a year. We were supposed to stay a year. But mm-hmm. We stayed a little bit longer, but so then after that, I don't know.
You couldn't get anybody else?
No, I guess it.
Well, that'd be about the time that Sendens came here in 1924 or something like that.
This was in 1918, I guess.
1918, yeah. Then it must be that Sweet, or maybe, like Sweet, he was a dairy man after.
Yes.
He must have maybe bought these cattle, possibly.
I think it's on the high. We had some of ours up there, too,
So then you went back farming, back to your place.
Yes.
Well then, there must be all kinds of things that you remember from your family growing up. And I'm saying that, I guess.
We had a nice time, you know, really just the same when we grew up. And
Frances mentioned that she's about the oldest baby boy in the valley.
Well, the oldest one still living here.
So who was the oldest baby?
William Hagler.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he? Oh, there was a child born up the valley here to Olson's that died, didn't it?
Yeah. No, well, he was born when he was way up the valley and there was
nobody to help him.
Nobody there with her, and he ran down to get Mrs. Shrow that lived just on the side of her crab, and of course, when he came home, she had the baby boy, and it was there.
Oh. She was all right.
Yes.
That was Alec Olson.
Yeah.
Wow. So Frances is the oldest baby in the valley.
I'm still living here, anyway.
Yeah.
Eric Jensey, he was born out here too, wasn't he?
Yes.
They were in the valley. Yes. But he lives in Hazel now.
Yes, I have to see him. Yeah.
Is Eric's older than I am, isn't he? Or is he?
That's okay.
I can't think of him.
That's okay. Now,
you must be older. Because. I don't know whether I'm right or not, but it seemed to me that when I was in town and before Dorothy was
born,
his mother was
And his parents lived up the valley.
They lived up
just where his place is, where that's his place.
No, where Dallas and Carol had their place.
Oh, for goodness sake.
The Clemenson, what they call the Clemenson
place. Oh, the Clemenson place. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that would belong to Jensey's.
Yes. Goodness sake, because I have...
No, not, oh, no, oh, no, not the, yeah. It was a place on this side of Clemenson's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was, you could see Clemenson's house and that from, it's Carlson's.
Carlson's.
Yeah, Carlson's.
That was their place.
Yeah.
And it is said also, an interesting thing that I heard, that there were, during the time that you were here, you know, first, that there were, 100 paid-up members?
In the Farmers Institute, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'll be during the time that you were all starting farming.
When I when I first was married, I know that.
100 paid-up members in the Farmers Institute.
Yeah.
Now, what would the Farmers Institute do for the farmers?
Well, I don't know.
Would bring in, if they wanted a bull, well, the government would supply a bull, and one person would keep it one winter, and another person another winter, you see, and that's the way they did it.
Did you start arguing over how he was going to get some few red cattle? Well, there were some of them were saying, send for a purebred bull so they could have some purebred, get some purebred, have some of the purebred calves. And so he said, honey, where are you going to get that? That's making a difference. You wouldn't have any purebred calves. I hadn't said. So then they were explaining to him, well, then you have your calves. You have your calves. Well, he said, that's different.
Oh dear. And then, so what, so these people, like you, you'd have gatherings, would you have picnics, or would you have, you know?
No, well, of course, those, that pretty well went.
They were all bachelors, more or less.
Yeah, they was all, really all bachelors, and oh, they used to get together and wonder what they could grow. Well, wonder if they can go grow wheat, and they was wondering for a long time how they did. They didn't think they could grow wheat, but then they tried, and they could.
Well, so these would be men that came back from the war?
No, it was before they
oh,
went
that
to
was
the
before
war.
The war.
Before
oh,
the war.
Oh, yeah, that's right, before the war.
Before
yeah.
the war, yeah.
For
they all
sake.
Left during the time of the war. Lots of them never came back.
Yeah.
Others went other places.
Yes, it's something like the
yeah.
Okanagan that was settled by all these men from England. They had turned it into a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went away. And the sloughs all broke up. So then, well, maybe you could tell us some things about your own children as they were growing up. Maybe Francis can think of something special when you were little. Anything really special or anything really horrible, any bad things during the time that the kids were growing up.